Michigan has a rich history of innovators in the world of aviation. The legendary Charles Lindbergh was born in Detroit, and there are lesser-known trailblazers like Skyman Philip Parmalee. Last week, we learned about the Clinton County man who's credited with flying America's first cargo flight. Today, we look at another of those pioneers who left his mark on history not by flying planes, but by jumping out of them. Clem Soan of Fowler, about 20 miles northwest of Lansing, was the first man to jump from planes and glide through the sky with man-made wings. That's right, he was the first Batman. Soan's wingsuit is currently on display at the Michigan Historical Museum. Here to tell us more about it is Museum Director Sandra Clark. Sandra, welcome.
Thank you.
What do we know about Clem Soan's early years in Fowler? And I guess he ended up in East Lansing as well. What do we know about that?
He's born in Fowler. He said later on that he loved watching hawks when he was a boy on a farm outside of Fowler. He was in just the gliding and the swooping and the soaring really caught his imagination. His mother died when he was 8 or 9 years old, and they moved into Lansing. He graduated from Lansing Eastern. So he's born in 1910. And about the time that Capital City Airport is getting going with all kinds of planes coming in and out of there, he's a teenager. Mm. So as soon as he graduates from high school here, he hooks up with a fellow named Art Davis, who does air shows. And they're everything from racing planes to taking them, doing loops and all of that sort of thing, stunts on them. So he learned to fly. But what he really liked, as you noted, was jumping out of planes.
How did that get started? I mean, do we know much about that?
Well, we know that the first thing they did was static jumps, where they jump out with a group of people and your parachute line was actually tied to the plane, so your parachute would open automatically.
I see, yeah.
And then he saw a guy named Spud Manning who was jumping out and wasn't pulling his ripcord immediately and doing free fall.
Pretty radical at the time, I imagine.
Very radical at the time. Very radical. And, you know, there's some daring and some competition in all of this. The free fallers would see how far they could go before they opened their parachute and who would chicken out first.
Sure.
Well, Soan then takes it to the next step because these guys are basically like someone parachuting today. They'll use their arms and their legs to balance themselves and kind of control their fall and direction a little bit, but he decides that with wings, he could actually glide. And so he works with Art Davis, said on his mother's sewing machine, this would be a stepmother now, gets tubular steel and develops these bat wings that are collapsible. So they're collapsed when he gets in the airplane, slows the plane, gets out of the front cockpit and jumps. And spreads these wings. He's also got a strip of cloth between his legs that act kind of like the tail of a bird in his
sure.
eyes.
Sure.
And actually manages to glide and, as he would say, soar.
And delay pulling the ripcord.
And delay pulling the ripcord till he's at about 1,000 feet or less.
Oh, boy.
Which anyone who parachutes today would never wait that long to pull the ripcord on their parachute. He did jump with two parachutes. He had a backup parachute, so he had one on his back and one in front. The Des Moines Tribune in 1935 described this. He was in Iowa he got paid to go places at fairs and things,
barnstorming.
Shows. Barnstorming, yeah. And they said for a while he glided testing the wings, then he zoomed first to the left, then to the right, leveling out, shooting upward, and downward. He looped 3 times.
An adrenaline junkie.
Absolutely an adrenaline junkie, but very serious about figuring out how he could glide. He said that his goal was to be able to glide all the way down without a parachute someday.
And you have the suit on display at the museum. What kind of condition is it in?
It's in very good condition.
So it was well made.
It was well made. He only did this for 2 years. So
yeah.
And he was constantly trying to do bigger wings and get more time gliding in the air. So they were not overused things by any means.
Do you have anything else beside the suit?
We have his goggles. we have a little piece of brass, kind of a fern-shaped thing that was on his coffin. He died in France at an air show, so it came back when his body was returned. A real tragic story. He was delayed in getting there. Boat was delayed. They got there at the very, very last minute, and he didn't check his parachutes before he jumped.
Oh.
And they did not open. Neither the first or the secondary parachute opened. So we have this little piece of brass that came back, the case for the coffins, and we have a canvas case for the wings.
Do we know, did that create, I mean, was he a well-known enough guy by that point? I mean, he's performing in Paris air shows.
Yes.
Was he well enough known at that time that it created quite, that this was quite the story back here in Clinton County? Or
oh, back
Ingham
here
Ingham County, this was front page news.
This was front page news, and it was news all over the country. He's in Popular Mechanics. He's featured in Newsweek. It was a pretty short career that he was doing this, but he really has a national reputation. People know about him. He also performed in Great Britain at air shows in that time span. So
we're talking about Michigan's Batman. He's from Clinton County, no less, Clem Soane, and we're learning about him from Sandra Clark, director of the Michigan Historical Museum, where Soane's outfit is currently on display. I'm told a bag of flour was somehow is related to this story. How so?
Well, when you jump out as high as he did, he figured out people couldn't actually see him when he first jumped off the airplane. So he had a bag of flour that he would attach and open so that he left a white trail of where he was until they could pick him up and watch him doing his jumps. And then, I mean, this guy, he's an inventor and an innovator. He figures out that an easier way to do that is with chemical smoke. So eventually he has a little canister of chemical smoke that is in the thing between his legs that he releases. So now he has smoke following him down. But that idea of getting people's attention so they can see as much as they can see of him.
I'm curious if he ever talked about something going wrong. Do we know that? Did he ever say, if anything happens to me, then I want this, that... Or did he feel like he was absolutely indestructible?
He felt like he was very safe at this. The double parachutes, he'd figured out how to brace these wings so they couldn't pull his arms back too far. When he was asked before he went up in Paris, he said he was just as comfortable as being in his grandmother's kitchen.
Wow.
Which is very sad. People thought he knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But he made obviously one serious mistake in his haste and didn't unpack the parachutes, check them out. They'd come over by boat, so likely they had gotten damp because they released, but they didn't unfold.
I see.
Yeah.
Michigan has had many interesting figures in the field of aviation. Just last week we learned about Philip Parmalee, who made the first cargo flight by air, another Clinton County guy.
Yeah.
Who else can you tell us about?
Well, a couple of people that come out of that same Clinton County experience. Babe Ruth is one of the early women pilots. By the time she was 16, she was taking flying lessons at Capital City Airport. And she was a good enough pilot that in World War II, she trained pilots for the Army Air Force in how to fly by instruments.
How about that?
And she,
Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth. Babe was not her, Marion was her original name, but she was known around town as Babe Ruth, lived a long life, was a local historian of flight in her later years, and a real spokesperson for that age when people were really figuring out this whole flight thing. The other one that I think is fascinating is Talbert Abrams, Ted Abrams.
Certainly.
He remembered when he was 8, this is 1903, when his dad came home and told him about the Wright brothers.
Abrams Planetarium.
Oh,
that's right. And a very successful aerial photography business.
Yeah. These folks are trying to make money out of this stuff, and he figures out that people are as interested in the pictures he takes as in getting the plane and paying to ride up with him.
When and where can we see the Michigan Batman's outfit?
The Batman's outfit
is... this part of your permanent collection
Oh, yes. No, this is in our permanent collection.
It belongs more with you, as much with you as anybody, I would imagine.
Yeah. No, this came in the 1950s. A man named John Hutchins, I would guess from the records, knew about Clemson and collected, because part of it comes from his stepmother, part of it comes from a cousin, and part of it was something that Hutchins brought in 10 years later. So this is in our main entrance lobby all by itself as a special exhibit. It'll be there till December 6th. We're open 7 days a week.
We've been talking with the director of the Michigan Historical Museum since 1991, Sandra Clark, and we've been talking about Michigan's Batman, Clemson of Fowler, the first man to jump from planes and glide through the sky with man-made wings and always daring himself to pull that ripcord later and later. Sandra Clark, thanks so much.
Thank you.